2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. And the Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for their mothers and those that are here and those that are no longer with us. And we thank you for them. Lord, I pray you give them strength, wisdom. Lord, give them faith. Lord, guide them. Lord, speak to their hearts today. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The influence of a mother's ministry. We want to speak to you about that. I know a lot of mothers here. And as I said, we don't all of us have our mothers with us. But we have the impact on our lives that they have left with us. There's not a day that goes by that I don't think about my mom. I don't think about my dad, too. Both my parents are gone already. But the older I get, the more of the influence of my parents, particularly my mother, that I can see in my own life. The church kind of knows if I'm up here preaching and there's a little piece of paper on the floor down here in front of the pulpit somewhere, I usually in the midst of preaching got to go down and get it because it distracts me to no end. Well, that's something I got from my mom. My mom was a neat Nick. She liked everything just right. We could do the white glove treatment at the house. And to some degree, I get that neatness from her. Things, like I said, when I grew up, it was yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Don't put your elbows on the table. We said Mr. and Mrs. The reason I still to this day, elder people, I can't call them by their first names or don't. It's just odd to me to do it because, my mom, my parents, both my parents instilled that in me, as I was growing up. Even for those of you that come here on Christmas Eve at our candlelight service, when we invite people over to our house on Christmas Eve, anybody that wants to come over and we have stuff over at the house, that comes from my mom. My mom liked to entertain and she liked to have people over on the big holidays. And so that little particular thing is something that actually comes from my mother. And so with that thought in mind and for moms, and listen, this message isn't only for the moms. I'm kind of aiming it at the moms, but the dads would affect you. Everything would apply to you as well. With that thought in mind, I want to think about the power that you have to influence your children. And we notice in our text today, we also read about Timothy's grandmother. It said the faith that was in his grandmother first and then his mother. So even as a grandmother, that's a mother, that you have the power to influence your children. And remember now, influence can also be a positive or negative thing. Dads, like I said, this would apply, or men in general, men, even people. I mean, we have an influence in some degree, no matter who you are, you have that. We can have a good influence or a bad influence. So those influences can go either way. And so when we think about this this question here, how would God have you influence your children and your grandchildren? How would God have you influence your children and your grandchildren? We notice in our text today that the Apostle Paul is the one writing the letter. He's writing a letter to Timothy. And it was actually somebody outside the family. It was the Apostle Paul that looked at Timothy and he realized the influence that his grandmother and mother had on his life. He mentioned that in his letter. It was him. It was somebody outside the family that saw that, a legacy that was passed on. And as I said, grandmothers, don't underestimate your influence that you can have on the family as well. And somebody said the reason that elderly people, when they get older, they get kind of stooped over and they get slower is so they can see things as a child sees them once again. They get stooped over so they're a little closer to the ground so they can reach down and grab the hand of a small child. And so probably some truth to that as well. Proverbs 17:6 says, children's children are a crown of the old. Children's children are a crown of the old. And if when you get children's children, which are grandchildren, you kind of understand that. And so we see Timothy was blessed with a godly mother. He had a godly grandmother. And I want to say this, you can't put a price, you can't put a value on that, to have that influence in your life. The greatest thing that you'll ever have in your life is anybody that will lead you or point you to God, will have a godly influence on your life. That's the greatest thing that could ever happen. And the closer they are to you, the more impact that's apt to have in your life. And so I want to just look this morning at three things that these mothers that we see in the Bible did for Timothy. And there are three things that all godly mothers should do for their children. The very first thing that we see is she passed on a love for the Scriptures. We didn't get the notes on, so you got to do it old-timey. Passed on a love for the Scriptures. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 down through 17, it says, Paul had written this to Timothy. He says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." So we see there that from the time Timothy was born, that he heard the Word of God. He was taught the Word of God, and then also he saw that that influence on his grandmother and mother lived out in the home. And, you know, there's no single thing that you can do. You know, all of us, you know, we like to give our children some things that would last, something that would impact their life. There's nothing that you can do that's going to impact your children's life any greater than the truth of God's Word. I mean, this is one of the greatest things that you can give. Listen, there's a lot of things we want to do for our kids. I mean, and there, none of them, and I'm not saying there's nothing wrong within things. You know, take them to the rec ball. If they like ball, that's great. Take them to the ballet lessons. If they like ballet lessons, that's great. You know, take them to piano lessons, if whatever. All those kind of things are good. But there's not going to be anything that's going to impact their life and have a lasting value as your faith, sharing your faith with your children, sharing the Word of God with your children. I mean, this is the thing that's going to have the most life-changing, long-lasting, everlasting impact on their life. The truth of God's Word plus faith in Jesus Christ plus the Holy Spirit's power equals a dynamic spiritual life. The Word of God. Listen, this is the thing. This is an important thing. I was thinking about this. Listen, you've got to know. We're living in a day today when people don't know what the Word of God says. They can't teach the Word of God. They can't express the Word of God. They don't know. It's the reason why we have 999 denominations is because people don't know what the Word of God says. So the doctrines go all over the place because it's man's opinion trying to replace the Word of God. And all you got to do is look in the Bible. I was talking with a man last week, and he was telling me about a certain denomination that said a person that was in that had gotten saved, and the rest of the family said they came home with the Bible, and the rest of the family said, "What are you doing with the Bible? We don't read that. You can't understand that." Listen, I got a feeling God gave me the Bible because I can understand the Bible. I've got the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in my heart. We are to read the Bible. We are to study the Bible. We are to know what the Bible says. That way you know what you're talking about when you get out in the world and you want to share that with your children, encourage them in the faith in Jesus Christ. Listen, the thing about the Word of God and the thing about faith, it has to be real in your life. and for you to pass it on to your children. You know, it's got to be a real thing in the home. It's got to be something that they see. It's not, you know, there was a phrase when I came along, it's not a good one, but it said, you know, well, don't do as I say do, or do as I do do, but do as I say do. No, doing what you say and what you're doing ought to be lining up together. You know, that has an influence. It, like my, you know, my dad would sit around there and he'd have a cigarette hanging out of his yap, telling me, well, if I ever catch you smoking, you're going to get a whip, you know. I mean, you know, what kind of an example was that? You know, I didn't get to smoking, thank the Lord for that, but, you know, that was enough for me right there. But I mean, you know, yeah, you shouldn't smoke. I mean, that's kind of crazy thing right there. But let me ask you something. If your child fell in a lake, if your child was in a burning car, if your child was in some kind of danger, let me ask you, moms, dads, everybody, what would you do to go rescue that child? I mean, you would do everything in your power to try to get a rope or get a life ring. If you could swim, you'd jump in the water. If it was a burning car, you'd dive in there. You'd do all you could to rescue your child. Well, I'm going to tell you something. This world that we live in right here, this world is trying to suck your kids away. This world is pulling your kids away from God. This world is pulling your kids away from you. This world is pulling your children away from everything that's good, from godly influence, into wickedness, into immorality, into any kind of addiction there is under the sun. The world is trying to get your kids. What are you going to do, man? I mean, listen, it's just as real. It's just as dangerous. It's just as deadly as any other kind of an accident that can happen out there in the world. Just what's going on in this world in a spiritual sense, it actually turns into a physical sense because of what's going on. It's just as dangerous and real as anything you can imagine. What would you do? I mean, why would you do anything and everything you can to rescue your child from that? And I'm going to tell you, there's only one thing. The only opposition to the world and the flesh and the devil is the Word of God. I mean, man, I'm going to tell you what, get the Word of God. You learn it. Listen, you learn it so you know it. You know what you're talking about. You got it. You live it in your life and you live it in your home and your children will see it. And I'm going to tell you what, then you can pull them away from what the world's taking them to. Listen, there's a thought out there. I don't know where these people get this. They got to be blind as a bat. I believe a blind man could see this. But there's a thought out there that the world is just getting better and better and better and better and better. And we're just going to work. One day we're just going to get so good, go good, and boom, it's going to be heaven on earth. You seeing it that way? Huh? This world's not getting better and better and better, and all of a sudden, bingo, one day we're going to say we're there? No way, man. This world's getting worse and worse and worse. Every time you turn around, it's getting bad. Listen, you have the power and the Word of God to give them. That's what we have right there. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 6, I've had a couple verses just to read to you. 6, 5 through 7, the Bible says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Right there, listen here. It's your assignment. Mom and dad, and dad just apply. It's your assignment, because I know if I don't get the dads in there, the dad will say, "Look, the preacher said you're supposed to do it, honey." No, the dad, you're the head of the house. But anyway, we're on to moms today. I'll get to dads on Father's Day. It's your assignment. It's not mine. Huh? Oh, I'm called to preach the word. Yeah, I'm called to preach the gospel. But raising your kids, I'd like to have a few minutes with some of them. Huh? Huh? I'd like to have a few. I show them something they've never seen before. Huh? I'd like to have, but it's not my assignment to teach your kids the word of God. I will teach them the word of God, but it's not my assignment only, let me say that. It's your responsibility. It's not the Sunday school teachers. It's you. That's what the word said right there. That's right. It's your responsibility to do it. That they've got to see it in the home. It can't just be some outside influence all the time. And listen, I'm telling you what. If you don't know the word of God, how many of you had to teach your kids to drive a car? You can't teach a child to drive a car if you don't know how to drive a car. And the way some of them drive, I'm not real sure if they did. You can't teach a child to drive unless you can drive the car, right? You got to know, right? You can't teach them the Word of God unless you know the Word of God. Amen. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. You've got to know it yourself. So listen, you got to read it. You got to know it. You got to live it in order to teach it. So you got to pass on a love for the Scriptures, the Word of God. you know, live that in your life. And then another thing that they passed was a sincere faith. See, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 in our text, verse 5, Paul said this. He said, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also. He said, that word unfeigned, I call to remembrance the unfeigned. You know what that word is? That is sincere. That means it's sincere faith. It's not fake. It wasn't a fake thing. It was the real deal. One of the easiest ways to destroy your children is to be a hypocrite. The easiest way to destroy your children is to be a hypocrite. Hypocrite means to be a pretender. Do you know that your children will spot a fake, especially in the area of faith, quicker than anybody? Because see, they're going to see you at home. They're going to see you in your real environment. They're going to see you in all circumstances, and they're going to know if it's real or not. And listen, if it's not real in your life, what do you think the odds are that your faith is going to be real in their life? Jesus had a lot of patience with failure. He did. I mean, man, he knows we're weak, and he knew we weren't. He had a lot of patience with failure. He would help us when we have weakness. But man, he did not have a lot of patience with hypocrisy at all. Some of his harshest words were for the hypocrites, Pharisees particularly in that day, but the hypocrites of that day. And if Jesus isn't making a difference in your life, moms, do you think your children will believe that he can make a difference in their life? They don't see that, do they? She passed on a desire to serve others. We saw the first time you find Timothy, it's in Acts chapter 16, right at the beginning. I'm not going there, but to just give you a little word on that. And Paul found him and the Bible's there, says Timothy's mother was a Jewess, a Jew, and his father was a Greek. It says the mother was a believer. And Paul wanted to take Timothy with him, and Timothy wanted to go, and he wanted to serve God. Now, where do you think that Timothy learned that? He learned that in his own house. See, he learned in his own home. His mom was a giver. His mom would take people in, servants of God in particular. Yeah, she would bring them into the house. She would help them. She would feed them. She would send them on their way. If somebody needed around the, I'm taking a little liberty with what I can read between the lines. When people needed help in the community, people were shorthanded on money. When people needed something to eat, she would help them out. She would help those people out. And he learned that, as I say, in the home, his mother was a servant. And he saw her serve, and he helped those in need and take care of the servants of God. And, here's the thing. Timothy was a young man at the time, and Paul had been in danger. He'd been in shipwrecks. He'd been stoned and left for dead several times. He'd been beaten with stripes several times, with 39 stripes several times. Left for dead. The ministry wasn't a picnic in that day. It's not necessarily one today, but it cost him his life. And she knew about these things. She knew about the persecution of the church. She knew about the persecution of the Christians. Paul wanted Timothy to go along. Timothy wanted to go. And guess what? His mom said, go ahead and go with him. Send him into God's will, into serving God. I mean, think about this. You know, we just read these little excerpts in the Bible that doesn't give you all the details, but you got to think about the parting of ways in those days and communication being what it was, or lack thereof, in those days. And so she let him go to go with to follow God's plan. There, the great thing, listen, there's nothing that the greatest thing that you would ever have your children do is to follow God's plan for their life. Amen. We get big plans, man. When Kyle was a little boy, I thought, man, it would be so cool if he was going to be a NFL football player playing for the Dallas Cowboys. I said, yeah, man, I'd be on there, get free tickets, and go to the game. And, man, I'd have him out there with his pads on and his helmet crashing into the old pear tree in our front yard. I'd say, hit that tree, man, hit that tree. It would, you know, you're thinking, you know, you got aspirations. I was kind of hoping Danielle was going to be a millionaire. That didn't pan out either. And not yet, anyway. I hope, you know, hanging in. But, you know, you got these desires for your kids, and that's okay. All parents, you know, you just got some hopes and plans for your kids, right? You want what's best for them, don't you? You want what's best for your children. You know what the best thing for your children is? It's whatever God's plan is for their life. That is the best thing. You'll never top it. You'll never imagine anything greater than what God would have, because it's going to be the perfect life, the perfect direction, the perfect place. It's what God would have. That's we don't always know that. Well, what's God's will for my kids' life? I don't know. But God knows. That's all I know. God knows. So just point them to God. And let God take their life and direct them in the direction that they need to go. You know, boy. And all of us that, you know, all of us here, we had a mama, right? We all had mamas. And remember when our parents were trying to tell, look, you know, this is what you need to do. And they wanted what's best for us in our life, too. And how many of us followed that to a T? Huh? How many of us did exactly what mama did for a T? And how many of us can say, and we know our mom and dad wanted the best for us, right? But how many of us got a little sideways because we didn't follow along with what mom and dad, and would have been a lot less bumps in our life if we had did it. But now we see we got a heavenly Father. Listen, he knows a whole lot more about it. He's got unlimited wisdom. He knows. He knows. And so follow God. You'll never top that. Whatever God's will is for your life, that's the greatest thing. And we read in some of the texts that I read and studying, there's no indication that Timothy's father ever became a believer. We know he was a Greek. That's all it said. Paul didn't mention Timothy's father, his faith. He didn't mention his father's faith, only his mother and his grandmother. You know what? The only thing this tells me is this. I'm not saying, I bet you Timothy's father was a good guy. I bet he loved Timothy. I bet he went out and played with him outside, just like all daddies do. I think he was a good, doesn't say he was an abusive father. I bet he worked hard. I think he worked hard, made money, fed him. He grew up. He looked like he was a healthy boy. I think he loved him. But listen, this father had zero spiritual influence on his children. Zero. Not a thing is mentioned about his faith. Only the grandmother and the mother. Thank God for that. But the fathers, you know, how much better would it have been? Boy, if Paul had said, Timothy, man, I see your faith. And man, I know that your dad, your mom, your grandmother, your grandfather, their faith, I know it impacted your life. I mean, how much better would that have been? But the lesson for us is this. Look here, single moms, moms with absentee husbands. And you can be an absentee husband and still be living in the same house with your wife and kids, okay? You can still be an absentee husband. But the moms, there's a lot of ladies I know. I've seen, listen, I've been pastoring 22 years. I've seen the dads won't come. But I'll tell you what, the moms will get the kids and they get them up and they bring them on down to church. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. I remember around my household at the time, my mom's the one saying, man, we need to get going. We need to get to go to church. It'd been better if dad had been the one, but mom did it. Dad went. But I'm saying that keep your chin up, moms, because you can still have the influence. It impacted Timothy. I mean, Timothy, man, one of the top pastors in the New Testament, because his mom had faith and his grandmother had faith. Of all the things in the world, we would like to give our children things, some things. And you always want to give them the best thing you can give them. I mean, we like to do that. Don't want to spoil them. We want to give them the best. The greatest thing that you can pass on to your children, the greatest thing, tops it all, is faith in Jesus Christ. That's the greatest thing you can give them. Because in it, there's eternal life there. This is something everlasting. Nothing else we give them is going to last. Nothing else we give them. But faith in Jesus Christ, faith in His Word, that's the greatest legacy that you, even dads, moms, that you can pass on to your children. I want to say, think about that. And think about that today, Mother's Day. Thank you, mothers, and thank you for all you do. Thank you for the hard work and raising your kids. And I know without a shadow of a doubt, there's not a mother in here that doesn't want the best for their kids. There's not. This is the best. God's got the best that you have to get. Let's all stand.